It was a drug intended to help pregnant women deal with their morning sickness. But for the women who took thalidomide when they gave birth, that drug became a nightmare story. Here's a dad, Peter, from the UK, speaking to our partners at BBC about the day that his daughter was born.
They brought Linda through. She has two flipper arms. She had a right arm, which was done up rather like a watch spring, and one good leg, and she weighed just on 2 pounds. Virtually everyone we came across told us either that they hoped she would die, or, including several well-known doctors, who said the best thing you can do is to stick her into a home and forget all about her.
We're joined now to speak with Dr. John Swan. He's a historian at the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration. Good morning.
Good morning.
So let me ask you, I just said that thalidomide ended up affecting people in the U.S., even though it wasn't approved here. Is that true?
Well, that's correct, because thalidomide was in this country as part of a so-called investigational drug study. Under the law of 1938, the 1938 Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act, companies had to establish evidence to show FDA that a drug was safe before it could go on the market. And as part of that requirement, the sponsor, the William S. Merrill Company, had launched a study, and the drug was not marketed. In fact, in order for that to happen, the new drug application had to be filed with FDA, which was done in September of 1960.
So in some cases, this would be a story about success of the regulatory system here in the United States?
Well, as a matter of fact, the law did work in this case. There was a law in place for decades that required a drug to be proven safe. But it, of course, required a medical officer of the type that reviewed the drug, Dr. Francis Kelsey, who understood what rigorous scientific evidence consisted of. The evidence that was submitted by the sponsor looked more like testimonials than clinical evidence. So, particularly because the product being a sedative would be used over the long haul. So Dr. Kelsey was looking for evidence that suggested safe chronic use. In other words, she was looking for chronic toxicity data, and there was nothing like that in the application. So the agency basically said they could not approve it without more rigorous evidence.
You know, I read up a little on Dr. Kelsey, a female physician, and in the end had to came under a lot of pressure from drug companies who wanted to bring thalidomide to the United States. She comes out as the unsung hero.
Well, she was indeed. She was enormous pressure was put on Dr. Kelsey directly and the agency by the sponsor to get the drug approved. That had happened in the past, but not to the degree it did here. There were literally scores of communications between the firm and the agency as a means of trying to get that application passed. It never was, though.
We are talking about the date 50 years ago when thalidomide was taken off the market, never approved for use here in the U.S., largely because of Dr. Kelsey, who blocked its approval here. Dr. John Swan, thank you so much.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Historian at the FDA, that's the Food and Drug Administration.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.